Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastors Rock and Sharon Edmonds as they minister the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here are Pastors Rock and Sharon.
Praise the Lord. God is here today. Amen.
Amen.
His presence is here so strong. You know, the enemy tried to come against audio, but God got the glory. Amen. Out of anointed praise dance this morning. Thank y'all so much for that. We just want to welcome each and every one of you that are here in the sanctuary today and those that are watching by Facebook. We're so glad that you joined us, and we just pray that the Lord touches your heart today, ministers to you in your area of need today, and God is going to speak to you. He is going to minister to you today, because where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is in the midst, and He is in our midst today.
Amen.
And where He is, He does a work. And so He's got something special just for you today. So be ready to receive what He has. And as always, I want to speak a word of blessing over you today. So be ready to receive what God has for you. And it's a confession of favor. We love the favor of God, don't we? Amen. So I declare in the name of Jesus that you have the favor of God and the favor of man. The favor of God surrounds you as a shield. You are the righteousness of God. Therefore, covenant kindness and covenant favor belongs to you. I declare the favor of God surrounds you everywhere you go and everything you do. The favor of God rests on you richly. Favor abounds in you. I declare you experience the favor of God immeasurably, limitlessly, and surpassingly. The favor of God on your life produces supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battles won that you don't have to fight. Amen. That's what we have in Christ Jesus today. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's word is powerful, isn't it? Praise God. And that's why we like to start with a confession. Start with what God says belongs to us and what God says who we are. Amen. And what we can have. So praise the Lord for that. At this time, I turn over to Pastor.
Well, it is neighbor looking time. I want y'all to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. I want you to point at your neighbor. And I want you to say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never ever
be the same
again
in Jesus' name.
Glory
to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. And Father, we just thank you for your presence. It is so strong in this place. And I thank you, Father God, that we're going to make a drawing on your anointing. And we're going to see things we've never seen. And we're going to hear things we've never heard. And your word is going deeper down inside of us. And we just thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I ask if you will to get your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 1 and 2. Now, I'm going to tell you how I got here. That may explain a few things. Pastor Sharon, a lot of times, she'll ask me, you know, do I have a direction that we're going or whatever, you know. And in the first of this week, I said, yes, I do. I said, I believe I do. And I said, we're teaching on rejection. And so she's, you know, studying along that line. And, you know, pretty much from that point, we don't really discuss it. And I'm somebody that's crazy note-taking. I mean, it just when it starts coming to me, it's too fast for me to, I mean, I have bad handwriting anyway, but you really can't read what I'm writing hardly unless you're in the Spirit somewhere. I mean, because, and I'll just take lots and lots of notes, and I'll redo my notes, and I'll call the notes, and I'm getting notes all week. And this week, after I told her that, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. I had no pages of notes. I had no notes. And I said, well, I already gave her a direction. That's good. And so then I just am doing Bible study, and I had a word study that I've been doing on kindness. And I, you know, you look up everything on kindness and every kind of devotion, every kind of thing you can find it on, and that's what I was doing. And then, honestly, I woke up 4 o'clock on Friday morning, and I just woke up wide awake. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you think, well, it's because of this or that, but sometimes it's just because the Lord wants you up. And, you know, you can try to talk Him out of it, but He ain't going to be talked out of it. It's you're up. So I was up. And all of a sudden, a scripture on kindness that I'm researching comes across, and it's not really, it's got a little bit about kindness, but that's how I got there. And then that scripture opened up to me like crazy. And I'm sitting there at 4 in the morning, and I'm writing notes and notes and notes and notes. And I said, I've never seen it like this before. I've never taught this before. And it just, anyway, that's where we got where we're at today. I'm just telling you. I didn't pick it. The Lord picked it, and He always does. I don't do it that way, but 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down that word, conversation, or I want you to highlight it. If you've got a highlighter pen, or if you've got a pen and you underline in your Bible, if you've got a Bible that you don't write in or you don't underline in, throw it away and get you one that you can, because you need to, you know, write in your Bibles. And that word conversation is where we're going with this. Okay, the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, this is King James, coupled with fear. Now, so we're underlining that word conversation, and we all think that we know what that word means. I certainly thought I did. It doesn't mean what you think it means. We think it means a talk between two or more people in which ideas are exchanged. You know, you're talking, you're giving your ideas, they're giving their ideas. It's a conversation. Now, I know, you know, that's what we think. But in the Scripture, that's not what it means. Okay, now I'll give you a same Scripture, but this is in the Amplified Classic, and we're going to let it just broaden our understanding of it. In like manner, you married woman, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if you do not obey the word of God, even if they any do not obey the word of God, talking about their husbands, they may be won over not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. Wait a minute. He just said in King James, it'll be about the conversation, and this says not by discussion. Let's go in the New International Reader's Version, same scripture. Wives, follow the lead of your own husbands. Suppose some of them don't believe God's word, then let them be won to Christ without words. Not with conversation like we're thinking that is. Let them be won to Christ without words by seeing how their wives behave. Let them see how pure you are. Let them see that your lives are full of respect for God. Okay, now, let's talk about the Greek word for conversation. That Greek word, and I'll probably butcher the pronunciation of this, anastrophia. And it refers to how a person rises up and sits down, goes in and goes out, turns this way and turns that way. That Greek word, in that word, conversation, anastrophia, gives a picture of how a person conducts their everyday life and how they behave in every situation. By using that word for conversation, we are told that there's no message more powerful than a godly life. That a wife who lives a godly life before her husband, now this applies to husbands and wives too, they were addressing this because it was more common that the women would come without their husbands. And it's still pretty common today. Okay, that a wife who lives a godly life before her husband greatly impacts his decisions and the way he lives. Now, I got a question for you. How many of y'all have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Okay, you know there's accounts that he raised somewhere between 19 people from raised to the dead or 21 people. There's nobody other than Jesus that has seen more people raised from the dead than Smith Wigglesworth. Now my question to you is, you ever heard of Polly Wigglesworth? That was his wife. Now we need to dig a little deeper. Okay? Polly Wigglesworth, she was a preacher. She pastored a church. I'm talking about, she pastored a church when it wasn't cool for women to preach. It certainly wasn't cool for them to pastor a church at that time. She was lambasted. People would throw things at her. She'd do open air meetings, and this lady was on fire for God like nothing you ain't never seen. She was ministering on fire, and she didn't care if they threw stuff. They threw an orange at her so hard it gave her a black eye, and she just let it fall to the ground and kept preaching. I mean, she ain't worried about it. Anyway, she was persecuted. Now, she taught Smith Wigglesworth, who they got married, and I'm not going to go into all that, but they got married, and she taught him how to read and write. I mean, she did everything for Smith Wigglesworth. He didn't know the basics of that. Then she's ministering, and she's pastoring, and he's keeping their kids, they had like four kids, I think it was, and he's keeping in charge of the kids at that time while she's ministering. And it was kind of opposite of what you would ever see in that time period. Now, he took a job as a plumber, and his plumbing business got so phenomenally blessed that now he can't come to church the way he wanted to, the way he did in the past, because it's conflicting. His job hours and his job is conflicting with his ability to come to church. Now, I know a lot of people think that I'm just, you're just saying that because you're a pastor. I'm not. It's the first red flag you better notice. It's the first red flag in your life. It's the first red flag in somebody else's life. If you don't have that zeal to come to the house of God, I'm telling you, you're getting lukewarm. Yeah. And you might not want to hear that. I don't care if you want to hear it or not. It's still the truth. Yeah. I only miss a couple of Sundays here and there. I miss a couple of Sundays a month. Oh no, you on your way out. You on your way out to be backslidden before the Lord. You say, no, that's not me. My heart's on fire. If it's on fire, you can't even be in His house. I'm sorry. I'm gonna preach this. This needs preaching. We think we're gonna live in heaven with Him, and we can't even go to His house on earth. Excuse me. Okay. I know I'm going on a side journey. Sometimes you get more on the side journeys than you get on the regular journey. Hallelujah. Okay. So his job started pulling him out, and he got spiritually lukewarm, and he backslid. Now, you're talking about the man that has raised 19 people from the dead or 21 people from the dead, one of the greatest people that's ever used by God. He's backslidden. His wife is still on fire for God. She is praying for him because she is an intercessor also, and she is praying for him like crazy. Now, when I say praying for him, I'm talking about interceding in the Spirit. We need to do more of that. Jim. Anybody that hadn't heard your last three men, you're going to have more. You know that already. But anybody that hadn't heard the last three in this series about prayer, what is iron sharpens iron? We are prayers. We are intercessors. But I'm telling you, you make me want to do it that much more. The more I heard, it was like, oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait to pray now. No matter what, I just can't wait because it just put it in you. You understand? Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Oh, okay. That was another side journey. It's okay. Okay, so she interceded for him, and he wound up realizing he's got to let go of this plumbing thing, and he let it go little by little, and he let it go, and he got back with the Lord. Okay, let me give you something that I read. I didn't think I was going into all this, but it just the Holy Spirit took it this way. Okay, I've read several accounts of Smith Wigglesworth and his wife Polly. Through the years, I've read them. And I'm going to give you, there are different accounts of different things that happen. I'm going to give you the one that I've read most about this one particular account. And it goes right in line with the scripture I just gave you. Okay, he told her when he was in that lukewarm state, that backslidden state, he said, if you go to church, she said, I'm going to church. She fixed his meal, everything's ready, the kids are good. She said, I'm going to church. He said, you ain't going tonight. He said, I don't want you out that late. You can't go. She said, he said, you got to obey me. So he was taking that scripture out of context, by the way. Because the Lord, it must be in line with God, with His Word. You understand that. People quote that out of line a lot of times. Okay, but anyway, he was quoting it out of line. He said, you walk your little feet out of this house. He said, I'll lock the door and you won't get back in. She said, you know I'm going to church. She said, I'm not trying to do anything to like disrespect you in any way, but I'm going to church. She went to church, he locked the door. Okay, now by one of the accounts that I've read, and more than one place, she comes home from church, it's kind of cool, it's chilly, and the door's locked, she can't get in. So she gets on the stoop, the door stoop of their house, and she bundles herself against that stoop, and she falls asleep, and she sleeps there all night. The next morning, he opens the door, he unlocks the door and opens the door, and she fell in the door. And, you know, not purposely, she was sleeping on that doorstep. Anyway, she's cold. She looks at him, and she said, good morning, Smith. She said, what would you like for breakfast? Hang on. That was real. I'm not talking about this hypocritical stuff. The Bible calls it dissimulation. It means that you're doing a fake love. No, it was the real thing. She was really, that's who she was in her inward man. That's who she was. She wasn't putting on an act. She said, good morning, Smith. Because she saw past all of the actions that he was doing. She saw it in the spirit realm, and she knew she wasn't fighting against her husband. She's fighting against the spirits that were not of God. Can you see things you hadn't seen? I know I did. That's good. I remember when me and Pastor Sharon got married, not long after, I remember her, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I said, what is that strange noise? Is somebody trying to break in the house? What's going on? And I was familiar with praying in the Spirit, but she's on the floor. I can't see her. It's completely dark. And she's praying in the Spirit, and she prayed in the Spirit for a long time. And I was like, what in the world? You know, and it led me to be somebody that prayed in the Spirit more so than I was. Can you see that? Okay. Y'all keep drawing. Y'all keep seeing. Now, husbands and wives, if you've been preaching to your spouse about things that you want to see them change your method. Stop talking to them about the areas you want to see change. Stay silent and pray so that our spouses can hear the Holy Spirit. Keep your mouth closed and your heart and attitude right, and that'll do the preaching for you. Polly Wigglesworth, that did the preaching for her, her actions of love. Keep your mouth closed, your heart and attitude right. That'll do all the preaching that we need. Okay, 1 Peter 3, 1, 2. Again, this is a Passion Translation. And now let me speak to the wives. Be devoted to your own husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word of God, your kind... See, I was doing this in the beginning. I was doing a word study on kindness. Your kind conduct may win them over without you saying a thing. Now, we thought it was the conversation, but that's not it. It's about the actions. For when they observe your pure godly life before God, it will impact them deeply. Y'all still got a minute?
Yeah.
What we want to do is we want to guilt people into doing things that we think they should do. So people guilt their children. They guilt their spouse. They guilt and put shame on them. That's manipulation and control. Don't guilt your loved ones about calling you or coming to see you. It's just wrong. Thank you very much. Don't guilt them about going to church. I heard Brother Hagin say one time, this lady was saying how her son was going to wind up in prison and he's running with a bad crowd and he's getting involved in drugs and all this stuff and he's, you know, going against the law and just different stuff. He said she wanted him to pray for her son. He said, it wouldn't do any good. I ain't going to pray a lick. She said, what? He said, I ain't going to pray a lick. My prayers would be ineffective because of all the stuff you're saying about him and saying to him. Said, what? He said, you're nagging him about going to church. Every time you get a thought, you're nagging him about going to church. And then you're telling him he's not this and he's not that. He said, just stop it and just pray for him and release him to the Lord and surround him with faith and love that it's going to work out. And that's what she did. And her son immediately changed and he immediately started going to church. She didn't ask him, he asked her. Are y'all seeing things you never seen? So pray over people and don't say a thing. Some people go to church because they're guilted to go to church. They're made to feel guilty if they don't come. Don't guilt people over bad habits that you think they should change. Boy, that's a jeopardy moment. That is such a jeopardy moment. I know I've got my button, but I'm going to just... You can't change people. Let me give you the revelation. You can't change you. We think we can change somebody else. We can't even change us. It takes the Holy Spirit. So we have to let the Holy Spirit do the work in them. So some of our loved ones don't live for the Lord today. And one of the reasons, not the only reasons, is because we tried to force them to live for God. We tried to force them to change. Pray and don't say a thing and watch God work. Jermaine Copeland, she's wrote a lot of books about prayer. I don't know if y'all read the books. They're just fabulous books. It's the best book series on prayer you'll ever read. And or one of the best. I say that on everything probably, but that's one of the best. I assure you it's one of the best. And she was talking about how her and her intercessory friends were praying about her husband coming to a special event at their church. He would come off and on a couple times a year or something, but he really wouldn't. And she just declared, this is going to be his breakthrough, this special event that they were having at the church. Now, I'm doing this from memory. I'm doing it the best I can remember. And so her and her girlfriends have been confessing he's coming to this service. And this is going to be the complete change that he's going to have. And da-da-da-da-da. And so her girlfriend asked her, she said, you need a ride to church? She said, I don't need a ride tonight. I'm coming with my husband. She said, really? She said, yeah. She said, we've been saying this for, you know, weeks and weeks. And he's coming. And it got closer to going. And he looked at his wife and he said, don't you need a ride to the church? He said, don't you think you better call somebody? And she said, no. And he said, yeah, you better call somebody because I already told you I'm not going. He was saying there was something he was going to do or something he's going to watch, and he said he's going to do that. He said, and just so you know, you and your friends ain't going to confess me into being there. He knew about it. See, they were trying to force the change instead of let the Holy Spirit do the change. Thank you very much. That was good. Nagging won't produce the change. No one will have to say anything. Some spouses try to change their spouse so they don't speak to them for days. They're arguing. That's devilish. Oh, that was good. You almost missed it. I said, that's devilish. That's not of God. Amplified Classic says, they're won over not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. Some people will shun you if you don't do what they think you should do. Y'all have seen, you know, in a certain group of people, you know, they shun you. Nobody speaks to you. They turn their back on. Never mind. It's manipulation. It's witchcraft. It's control. Stop trying to shove the Word of God down your loved one's throats. Stop trying to get your own way. Pray and be silent. Give the Holy Spirit some room to work. Now, Sharon, I've got a lot, but this is it. This is it.
Praise the Lord. That was awesome. You could have kept going as far as I was concerned. Amen. Praise God. Well, as Pastor explained about our messages having different titles, when he told me what he was going to minister on, I said, that's not what I've got. I've got what you said the first time. I've got rejection. And I said, I don't know. Usually, you know, the Lord kind of does give us different things, but it always kind of goes together. You know, he does it. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And so I was like, I don't think this is going to flow together. But he's like, you just go ahead and give what God has given you. So I was like, okay, we'll do this. So God, it's up to you, however he wants to do this. But this is on rejection. And, you know, all of us have been rejected. We've gone through rejection in some area of our life and some time in our life. But if you've been rejected in any way, just know that that was the enemy. And, you know, you have got a destiny. God has given each one of us a destiny. And the devil wants to steal that destiny, and he will use rejection to try to do that in your life. But, you know, whatever the enemy has meant for evil by that rejection, God will use it to position you for your destiny. You know, a lot of times it looks like, you know, God, why am I going through this? Why has this happened in my life? Why has that happened in my life? And, you know, we all wonder these things, you know, because some bad things can come on in your life, go on in your life. But God has a destiny no matter what the enemy has tried to do in your life. You know, it may look like you were losing, but you were being positioned for promotion. God has a promotion in your life planned for you. Amen? And so, you know, there's many people in the Word of God that had gone through rejection in their life, gone through some hard places in their life, and you know, you don't, you want to, just can't understand a lot of times, you know, why did they go through this? Why did I have to go through such and such in my life? Well, God knows what He's doing. Amen. And He's still working. He's still working no matter what the enemy tries to throw out there. He still has a destiny. He still has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He will, if we will yield to Him, if we will allow those things, allow God to work in our lives in those areas. And sometimes it's not easy. I'm not trying to act like it's easy, because it's hard. It is. There is nothing easy about it. But as we yield to God, as we allow God to do a work in our life, God will turn those negative, evil situations around for your good. Amen? He always has you in His heart and in His mind. But you know, I think we're all familiar with the story about Joseph. Joseph has some very unfair things happen in his life. You know, Joseph's brothers were so jealous of him that they wanted to actually kill Joseph. You know, he was his father's favorite child, and the brothers were not happy with that. You know, he made Joseph a coat of colors, you know, a beautiful coat, and the other brothers didn't get anything made for them. So they were jealous of Joseph because of that bond between him and his father. And, you know, then Joseph had a dream about how they, you know, they were going to bow down before him. And even if his father was like, wait a minute, who do you think you are, you know? We're not ever going to bow down to you. But anyway, that really threw him off the edge right there, you know, that God is going to set Joseph up where his brothers and even his father would bow down before him. You know, they thought, this is really wild, and this is never going to happen. Who do you think you are? But anyway, it did happen. God, you know, God did use situations in his life, but they wanted to kill their brother because they were so jealous of him. And you know, there's some things you can't share with people. God will show you things sometimes, and you can't share that with other people, because they'll be jealous. You know, they'll think, who do you think you are, you know? Well, it's not who you think you are. It's what God has planned for your life. It's your destiny that God has planned for your life, amen? And so they wanted to throw, they decided, one brother kind of intervened, you know, let's don't just kill him right out, let's throw him in a pit. You know, that was their second thing. So it would look like, you know, he died accidentally, and then the brothers wouldn't get accused of it. They wouldn't look suspicious, in other words. But anyway, they threw him in a pit. Somebody came along, they pulled him out of the pit, and they ended up, you know, selling him to Potiphar, and to serve Potiphar. And so Potiphar takes him back to his house in Egypt, and he's serving Potiphar, and everything's going good. God, the favor of God was on Joseph in every situation in his life. You know, the enemy wanted to kill him and take him out because he had a destiny, amen? And God had a plan to fulfill that destiny in Joseph's life. Well, he has favor with Potiphar. And so Potiphar makes Joseph head over all of his household, you know, and everything, his land and everything that he owned. And so the devil came back in wanting to destroy Joseph. So Potiphar's wife lies about Joseph and gets Joseph thrown into prison. Not fair. It looked like Joseph was losing again. It looked like, you know, his life was down back into the pits. And I believe that, and I haven't studied this for a while, I think Joseph was actually in prison for 13 years altogether. I believe I'm right about that. Could be wrong. Y'all have grace. Have grace if I'm wrong on that. But, you know, Joseph had the favor of God. And everything that Joseph did prospered. He, you know, it was like just a highlighter pen all over Joseph. Doesn't matter where he's at, what situation, how bad it looked. God just blessed Joseph. And so when Joseph was in prison, the keeper of the prison noticed Joseph. You know, he said, you know, this is an upright man. And so it was a witness to this keeper of the jail. And so the jail keeper made Joseph ruler or head over the prisoners. So there again, you know, he was promoted in the middle of a prison, you know. How much favor can you have of God, amen, to get promoted in prison? But he did, you know, he had the favor of God on him, and he prospered in everything that he put his hands to. But while he was in prison, there were two other prisoners that were thrown in there. And one night, the two prisoners had a dream. They had different dreams, but, you know, these dreams really just troubled these prisoners. And so they're like, you know, they just wish they knew what this dream meant. And they went to Joseph. He, you know, the man of God, it was on him. So the prisoners would go to Joseph, you know, for prayer. And so they told him, you know, we had this dream, and, you know, we want the interpretation of it, because this dream is just, you know, it's troubled us. And so, to make a long story short, God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream. And so 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream, and this dream troubled him too. He had this dream twice. And so he was told that Joseph was able to interpret dreams. And so Pharaoh takes him out of prison, goes to the palace, and you know, he's asking Joseph, because Pharaoh had gone to all the wizards, you know, and none of them could interpret this dream. So he gets Joseph, and Joseph, you know, he says, you know, I heard that you can interpret dreams, and Joseph's like, it's not me. It's God. It's God that does this. And so anyway, he prayed, and he told him about the dream. Pharaoh told Joseph about the dream. And so the Pharaoh saw that he was, you know, there was something about Joseph. You know, all the wizards couldn't do what Joseph could do. No, God, the glory of God shows up, amen, and outshines the enemy. And so Pharaoh, he puts Joseph into the palace. He takes him out of prison. He puts him into the palace and makes him second in command under him of his kingdom, you know. And so Joseph, again, you know, it looked like Joseph was losing, but here he was. He was being positioned for his destiny through every step of his life, no matter what it looks like. God was leading him and putting him into that position of his destiny. And he was promoting him the whole time. Amen. Amen. So, you know, no matter what you've gone through in your life, no matter what the enemy has meant for evil against you, God will use it for your good. He will use it for your good. So if you've been rejected, you need to get ready for promotion. God has a promotion for you. Amen. He has a place. He's still leading you through to your destiny. The enemy cannot stop your destiny. No matter what he tries to do, the Lord will outshine and he will promote you in the middle of a mess, amen? And in the midst of a hard time, in the place where it looks like you're losing, you're winning. Whether you realize it or not, you are winning. So, you know, we need to learn to forgive. Because, I'm not saying that lightly. I'm saying that is a hard thing to do. Probably one of the hardest things. If you've been rejected or hurt in any way in this manner, if you don't learn to forgive, you're going to get stuck. And God did not destine your life for you to be stuck because of what the enemy has done. Amen. And forgiveness does not mean that that person is not responsible. Amen. But what it does is it frees you. What the enemy had meant for evil in your life, God is going to turn it around for your good. He's going to use you just like he did Joseph. Amen. He has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for your life. So we have to recognize this is what the enemy wants to do in my life. This is what he wants to happen in my life. But God has a destiny for me. He has a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. Amen? He has promotion for me. Praise God. So it is a hard thing, as I said, not an easy thing. And I'm just letting that roll out like, you know, it's just easy. Just forgive. Sometimes it's by faith. By faith you do it, amen? You do it as unto the Lord. Like you do anything else in life, you do it as unto the Lord. And then you allow the Lord to do the work in you. You allow the Lord to do a work in your soul, in your emotions, amen? And so, but when we don't, see, the Lord doesn't want those instances, or whatever you call it, the rejection or the hurt. He doesn't want that to rule your life. He doesn't want you to allow it to destroy your life. That's what the enemy did it for. He wants to destroy your life. But God, as I said, I can't say it enough, God has a destiny for you. Amen? So when we learn to forgive, even if it's by faith at first, and sometimes it might take years to actually see the manifestation on the inside of you. You know when it's there, amen. Because when we don't have that forgiveness, we want to tell everybody about it. How they did me, what they did to me, how they've talked about me, how, you know, this, that, and the other. But when you forgive, you don't have to do that. Amen. God did the healing. But Satan meant to imprison you with that rejection. He meant to imprison you with that hurt. But God will use that to empower you. Amen. Isn't it awesome to be empowered by God? It is a good place to be. Now, a lot of you watching today, you're still in that prison. You know? Because, well, main thing we stay in a prison like that is fear. Because we don't want that rejection to happen to us again. So we put up all these walls to protect ourselves. And God's just saying, just let me in and do the work. Just let me do the work in your heart. Let me do the work in your life. Amen? And so it's a trust issue with the Lord, total trust issue. We've all been here. I'm not just speaking to one or two people. This is everybody. We've all been in this place. Amen? Oh, and we may have occasion again. You know, we got to go right back to God. Amen? God, here I am. I've gone through this hurt, this rejection again. God, help me. Help me to forgive and help me to surrender it to you. Humble myself and surrender it to you. And don't allow the situation to rule my life. Don't allow the situation to destroy my life. But help me to just trust in you. So God has a plan. He has a specific destiny for you. Amen. God has chosen you. He has handpicked you. Amen. You are His own. So no matter how bad or you know how hard a situation looks, God will take what the enemy has meant for evil, and He will turn it around for your good. He always will. Always. And I want to read Isaiah 61 in verses 1 through 3. So as I always say, when I have a lot of scripture, hang with me, please. But this is the King James Version. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Now, I just love that the Lord said He will give unto you beauty for ashes. You may have gone through a lot of ashes in your life, but God will make it beautiful. He will make the bad into good. Amen. He will use the evil for your good. He'll turn it around. You know, and when you think about it, the devil's pretty dumb, isn't he? Amen. And I just love that God uses the devil to set us up for victory, for our destiny, for promotion in our life. Amen. And so if that's you today, if you're going through some kind of rejection or going through some kind of hurt that just it seems just impossible. You know, I see on Christian programs sometimes where a family has had a family member that was murdered. And I've heard, you know, some of them say, you know, that they forgive the person. They even befriend the person while they're in prison and go minister them to them. That's only God, isn't it? That's, you know, I hear that and I think, how in the world could you do that? Only God. That's the only way. So there's nothing too difficult, amen, that God can't make something beautiful out of it. Amen. That's all I've got for you this morning. I pray that it minister to you here today. I pray it minister to you watching by Facebook today. We all go through a lot of things. You know, some people's, what they've gone through, rejection or hurt, has not been as severe as a lot of other people's. But it doesn't matter how small or how great. God will turn it around for your good. Praise God. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you and Jesus is Lord.